The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. I think it's the 20th. It's the 20th. Okay. 21st?
The 21st.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay, we'll verify that with Courageous.
Yep, it's the 21st.
All right, there you go. I got 21st twice, so it must really be the 21st of July, 2022, right?
Yes.
Let's see if they know what day of the week. Today is what day of the week?
Thursday.
There you go. Okay,
it's
folks.
Pledge week.
That's right. It's Thursday of Pledge Week, and that means we only have one day left after tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Means we have less than 4 hours, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, back in the boiler room, we have none other than Randy. And who's that guy with Randy? Is that Eric? It is. It's Eric, our young fellow's back there. Of course, on the board, we have Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And you heard her little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. Now, we have a whole lot. Now, out in Missouri, we got Pastor Joe, and in California, we got Pastor Z. So if you put the two of them together, we got Josie.
In Josie Wales, ready to go to war.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, we got them. Now, here's where we're going to start tonight. We've been having the devil's children, Satan's children, have been trying to block our phone lines and trying to tie them up to keep people from being able to call in pledges. And I got to admit, folks, we haven't had so far a good week. And so we need to start by praying right now. I'd like to have both of you men ask a prayer. Pray that the good Lord would keep keep those, his Satan's children, from tying up our phone lines, and that the good Lord would keep the prince of the power of the airwaves from trying to take down any of our stations tonight, as we're always under attack out there. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Joe, would you start and pray that the Lord would come against Satan's children? And then Pastor Z, would you pray that the Lord would come against the prince of the power of the airwaves?
Absolutely.
Dear Heavenly Father, we have had this enemy attack us before. Satan's children have been trying for a very long time, as you know, to knock us off the air, to take away stations, to cause whatever trouble they can cause. And, Lord, you know better than anyone how much they hate you. And that's why they hate us, because we preach and teach your word. We praise you. We give you the thanks. We give you the glory. And we tell people to put their faith and trust in you. So tonight I would just ask, Lord, that you would clear the problems we've been having with the phones, with people being able to call in, that you would clear up the lines for the callers, that you would reach out and touch the hearts of the listening audience, that as we do your will, Lord, that you know that we're totally dependent on our listeners. We have no sponsors, and that we count on the brothers and sisters in Christ to make donations to pay the bills. So tonight, we need your help, Father, and well, I'm going to put it in your precious hands. You know how best to fix our troubles, our trials and tribulations. We thank you, Lord, for what you will do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Joe, I didn't want them to know that they were causing us a problem, but obviously they know. And so, again, I thank you for that prayer. And Pastor Z, would you pray that we stay on the air tonight because they like to try to jam us?
Absolutely. Father God, we come before you right now, and we just claim the authority of your precious blood over this situation, God. Your word tells us that we are more than conquerors in Christ, and we know that the enemy comes to lie and to steal and to destroy. And so that is his goal during this time, and God, we just pray that you would raise up a standard, God, against this enemy. And Lord, I pray that the airwaves would be wide open to hear the gospel, that we would not be hindered tonight, that you would do a work of your grace, Lord. And Father, your mercy on your children, we know that you love your children, God, and they desire to hear the word of God. They desire to be blessed and ministered to this evening. And we just pray against any attacks of the enemy right now, God. You are faithful. You are holy. You are righteous. And God, we just, again, we ask you just to raise up a standard against the enemy of our souls, and that you would just protect your children tonight, that there would not be any hiccups in the transmission of this radio program. Father, I also pray that you would open up the hearts of people to just desire to give, to sow seed into this ministry, Lord, and that you would be glorified, God, in spite of the enemy's attacks, in spite of the threats of the enemy. May they come to naught, even now, God, as you are going to do a work in and through Pastor Ernie, in and through your word, that you are going to speak to people, you are going to speak to hearts, you are going to do a work of your grace, and that we can come through courageous in our faith in Christ. We have victory in Christ, and we stand in that victory. We love you, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that are on the phone, part of the team, that you would protect them as well. And God, we know that we can be Davids against Goliath when you're with us, Lord, and that our power is not in the flesh, but it is in the spirit. And we pray, God, that you would just bring down these strongholds. We trust in you to do it. We give you honor and praise. We love you, Jesus. And we just pray that you be glorified this evening in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Amen.
All righty. Joe, we're need to get going, and so right out of the chute, you know, we're called What's Right, What's Left is the name of the program, and here's where that name come from. So, Joe, Matthew 25, starting with verse 34 all the way through 46, take her away.
You want to give out those numbers real quick first?
Yeah, the numbers are, by the way, thank you, Bob, and New York pledges $200. Thank you, Bob. The numbers are 888-281 1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We do need to hear from you, folks. We're having a very, very, very tough week.
And so, remember, we can take credit cards right over the phone.
So. Credit cards, PayPal, checks. You can go to wrwl.org, and all the ways you can help us are right up there.
All right, here we go. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered, or a-thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Life eternal.
Well, we see this all through the Word of God. Those on the right stands for righteousness. We know in Ecclesiastes 2:10, he says that a wise man's heart turns towards his right, but a fool will turn towards the left. We know that upon the cross, when the Lord Jesus was there, the thief on his right repented, and Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." But the thief on the left, not only did he not repent, but he rallied against the Lord. And so we see all through Scripture. Now today, if you believe in God's word, if you believe in God and country, if you believe in righteousness and doing good, and you believe in the sanctity of marriage and family, then they call you a right winger. If you believe in these things, you're considered a right winger. But if you believe in abortion, in sodomy, in bestiality, in pedophilia, they call you on the left or a Democrat, okay, today. And so here we're seeing how, you know, God's word is a living, breathing document. It forecasts itself so far in advance. It is so accurate. It's just unbelievable. And so that's where we're at today. Pastor Z, we are we have a lot of new listeners out there, a lot of new listeners, and because we have a lot of new listeners, we want to take a moment, a little time tonight, and give a little history of this radio ministry, and then at the bottom of the hour, I want you to give us a history of Bikers for Christ. But for right now, I want to say Janice in Michigan pledges 500 and Beverly in Portland pledges 500. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Beverly.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the number is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, folks, we do have, I wanted you to know, we have available the 2,000 mules. We have the 2,000 mules available out there. We ask for a donation $60 or more, but you have to let us know that you want it. In other words, we're not going to just send it to you unless you request it. If you request it, then you get it. Also, for $75, if you have a donation of $75, we have a mystery gift will come with you. Now, we have hundreds of books, tapes, DVDs, and also the CDs. If you request the songs that you hear on this radio program, we have gone through a lot of those CDs with the songs. If you would like to have, for $75, if you'd like one of our CDs, and 2,000 mules, that would be fine. Now, for folks out there that are destitute and, you know, would just love to say, well, you know, I'd love to, I can't afford it, but boy, if I got one of those 2,000 mules, I'll show it anywhere. I will show it. Then let us know, and we'll see if we can get you for one for little or no charge at all. And so, anyhow, you got to do that, right? And so, I'm going to give a little history of this radio ministry. And, Pastor Joe, you've been with me for a long time, so you can kind of jump in on this. And it started back in the 70s. I was doing radio and television programs as the fire-breathing Baptist, young Baptist preacher who, and they were referred to. They would try to invite me on. The secular programs would invite me on because I was young, and they thought, and they would always set an ambush, but by God's grace, always I got the better of them, the opposition. Do you know why? I had something they didn't have. I had the truth. And, you know, well, I'm going to tell you, the truth is hard to beat. And so we started that way. And one day, I was out in front of the Bloody Surgery Center abortion mill, and I was preaching. And I thought to myself, you know, we need, and I can tell you, this was exactly at 9 o'clock, just before I was ready to leave that morning. I'd been out there since early. I says, we need our own radio network. We don't have no media in Cleveland. All the media is pro-death. All the media out here, liberal media, is anti-Christian. No media on our side. And I was thinking, that's what I'm going to do. And if I do that, I'm going to call it What's Right, What's Left, because these passages came to my mind for obvious reasons. And so when I got back to my office, I remember this perfectly. It was exactly 10 o'clock as I sat down at my desk. The phone rings, and it was WCCD at that time calling me, saying, have you ever considered having your own radio program? Because I would go on, and at that point I was doing a co-hosting a program with a statesman called Seth Galbraith, and it was called Biblical Answers for Secular Questions. And I remember people used to write in biblical answers for circular questions. But anyhow, and so I said, this is an absolute amazing, you know, God is in this for sure, because it was exactly 1 hour ago I decided that that's what I was going to do. And they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. It was airtime was so cheap to begin with, it was just to get me going on that. And, you know, Joe and Pastor Z, I didn't know, you know, about asking for donations. I didn't know it. I just went on and figured I'll pay for it myself. And before I ever asked for a donation, people started sending donations in. And I thought, well, my gosh, if that'll happen, we can expand. I can go on more time, more hours a day. And, you know, I can go on 5 days a week. And so that's where we got started. Now, back in those days, here we were very instrumental because we didn't have any, the pro-lifers, we did not have any media. And back in those days, we didn't even have any crisis pregnancy centers like today.
They were still beating up anybody out there protesting an abortion clinic. The police would arrest you, beat you, or other bad things.
Absolutely. And The cops that were crooked in the courts, they were taking that money. There was plenty of money to be made, blood money, and they were taking that money. And up to this point, no one would challenge them. We did. I gave their names and badge numbers out over the air. dirty cops. And that got their attention. And I tell you what, when I did that, I got the backing of the clean cops, the good guys, the white hats came in and said, thank you for doing it, because these dirty cops have given us all a bad reputation. And I did that. Now, let me tell you, I got death threats and everything else. Even I heard that they had put a contract on me for doing that, okay? And so that's why there would, instead of one car watching me all the time we were out preaching, there would be two. One car was watching me, the other car was watching them, because you had the good cops and the dirty cops out there in those days. And so here, Lou in Michigan pledges 200, and Linda in California pledges 40. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Linda. And so here, in those days, remember the legislation we passed. You guys might remember something that they would call partial birth abortion. Well, before it was called partial birth, it was called brain suction. Brain suction. They changed the name to make it more palatable. And I worked on that legislation. I was one of the people that we sat down, we put our heads together and came up. And after going back and forth with some late state legislators and fine-tuning, we got that passed. And that ended up going and passing nationwide. And it started right here with us. And then later on, well, at the church sitting right there on the table, I have a certificate from the Jack Wilkie, Dr. Jack Wilkie, who was a good friend of mine. We got, I was with him in the beginning when he, Ohio Right to Life and National Right to Life. And back those days, Ohio Right to Life was pro-life. I can't say that today, really. But anyhow, here I have a certificate now of thank you for doing my part in the heartbeat bill, passing the heartbeat bill. And so I really appreciate that. We worked very hard on getting that heartbeat bill passed.
Janet Folger said you were her mentor. She was the one, kind of the impetus behind that, and she's come on this program and said you were her mentor and the source of her inspiration.
Yeah, well, she was the brains and I was the mouth. She was,
and she was also the good-looking one. You and I kind of, we just tell them to hide the children from the website.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it kind of was one of those Beauty and the Beast, and I knew what my part was. And so, but Jen, she was a little tiger, a little firebrand, and what a sweetheart. And you're right, I got her started, and boy, I'm going to tell you, I was very, very proud of her, the way she took off, and you know, they came against her, with the way they came against her. You know, at one point, and I think it might be today, she was the number one target, the number one target by the NOW and, what is it, NARAL. Jan was the number one target in the entire country by those vile female organizations. And so, anyhow, so then we started exposing some of the grisly operations. I remember one day, there on Shaker Boulevard, very early in the morning, it was still dark out, and so it had to be around, I think it was around December, and anyhow, I got there very early, and the lights were on, and the abortion chamber, the wall in the window was only about 10 feet, not even 10 feet off the sidewalk. And as I heard a scream, and I went up there, I looked right in the window, and they had this young blonde-headed woman. Now, they would used to have a lot of strippers. A lot of strippers would come into the abortion mill. You could almost always tell them. They always were thin, well-built, and usually taller girls. Most of these girls were like 5'7", 5'8", and they were all blonde, okay, and whether it was real or bleach, they were mostly all blonde. And so the first thing I thought were when I saw her was she was a stripper. And let me tell you, they had her in a chair. She was stark naked, not a bit of clothes on her at all. And she was bleeding profusely. They had gotten her in early, and she was bleeding, and she was fighting them. She was fighting them. You had the bloody abortion, and I believe if I remember, his name was Biskin. And what happened was they saw me looking in the window and saw that I saw everything, and they were trying to strap her down. And they turned, she jumps up out of the chair, and she runs right out of the room. leaving a trail of blood behind her. And so I ran around to the back because I knew where they had to come out. But I had to climb up over a little wall to get back there. There was a wall, a block wall. And so by the time I got up over it, they had the back door of his Cadillac open, and they were pushing the two of them, the Biscuit, the abortionist, and I don't know if the woman was a nurse or if she was just a ghoulie or what, but they were pushing this girl in the back seat, and they took off with her. And I don't know if they took her to the hospital or what. You don't know with these people. They're all about death. But I would start reporting, and we would report on these grisly events that were taking place. I remember one time, too, over at number 5 Severn Circle, they had a young girl. She was about 9 or 10 years old. They came in. And they grabbed her and they pulled her. By the time I got to them, because they were right close to the door of the bloody abortion mills, they had pulled her in and locked the doors. And so, she was kicking and screaming. And that's some of the kind of things that they would do out there. I remember one time, Joe, as I was out there preaching, a pickup truck pulled in. And this blonde-headed woman who had two black eyes, and she was crying. She come in, she looked at me, and she was crying. So when he parked, I walked over there, and I said, I knew what it was all about. I said, you don't have to go in there. And this punky boy who was driving the car told me to mind my own blankety-blankety business. And I told him, I said, I just made this my business. Do you have a problem with that? He took right off. Boom. He was gone. See, it's a lot easier to beat up on a woman than to fight a man. And so the punky boy took off. But here's what happened, Pastor Z. About 2 years later, I was out there at the same place, still preaching, and a woman pulls up, and she said, I'm looking for you, Pastor Ernie Sanderson. And I said, yeah, that's me. And she showed me a picture of that baby. The baby was born. She said, my sister had the child. He's a beautiful little son. And she got rid of the bum. She said she got rid of the bum, and she wants to thank you. She wanted you to see the picture. And so praise the good Lord for that. But hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of
rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs, you know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, whoa now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs, you know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Alrighty, we're back. And folks, let me tell you, heaven's under siege, and so has his ministry been under siege. But guess what? We never quit. There ain't no quit in us here. The number here is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. The Bible says we're more than conquerors in Christ. Do we believe it? 888-677-9673. 888-281-1110. Pastor Fred Z, tell us about Bikers for Christ.
Okay. You got about 3 or 4 hours?
Well,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Bikers for Christ actually started in 1990. Back in the 70s, I was a motorcycle guy, and I had gone in the Navy, and I actually started out, getting into drugs and alcohol at a very young age, and I'm really ashamed of much of my testimony, because anybody can be an idiot for 20 or 30 years, and so I was one that just made a lot of bad decisions. I was raised in Catholicism, and, I'm not here to bag on the Catholic Church. I'm just here to tell you my story. But as I saw a lot of hypocrisy in Christendom, the only real exposure that I had to it at that early age, I pretty much rebelled against it. And my testimony is actually called Rebel with a Cause, because James Dean was a rebel without a cause. And so as soon as I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I decided to become a rebel with a cause. But I was a drug addict, drug dealer, started hanging out with outlaw motorcycle clubs, going down those roads. I joined the Navy as a result of basically avoiding a drug bust, because I sold some drugs to an informant. My dad was friends with the chief of police in the town that I was growing up in. And he basically told him, he said, your son needs to go in the military or go to Canada. He needs to do something because we're going to put him away. And so I felt real patriotic. And so I figured jail would be a much worse option than the military. I went in the military. And God has a sense of humor, because I went from being an absolute hellraiser on the streets, and God put me in VA 174. It was a Navy air squadron called Hellraisers. Okay, so I went from being a hellraiser to being a hellraiser to being a pastor. I went through the process of what took place in my life. And basically I had visited, a couple of churches, didn't really get anything out of them because my heart was not open to church or any of that. On May 5th, 1977, I walked into a church in Anchorage, Alaska, after traveling from Massachusetts, where I was born, out to California, partying with a bunch of people. My sister invited me to go to Alaska. I ended up in Anchorage, Alaska. And I was working for the post office for a while, and then I was working for the city of Anchorage. Well, a cute girl invited me to church. That's the only reason that I remember even going to the church. I walked in there. I had a jean jacket with Harley wings, had ripped up, you know, jeans with patches all over them. This was back in the 70s. So, you know, a lot of the hippie folks and the rock and roll folks were all, you know, sewing patches all over their jeans. And I actually had a Bellingham Police Department patch sewn on the rear quarter of my jeans. So, you know what that meant to the world? I'm sitting on you. That's not good. So anyway, like I said, I was hanging out with a bunch of outlaw motorcycle clubs, and my goal in life was to become a one percenter. Okay. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a little kid that wanted to become a cop or a fireman or an astronaut. I wanted to become an outlaw biker. And so, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Okay, so my goal for my life was heading toward death. And so that's not where I, you know, really wanted to go. So anyway, I'm in this church, and this is after being a drug dealer in Anchorage, Alaska, after I got out of the Navy. And so, you know, I thought the Navy was going to change me. And the only thing that it did was it helped me to not be racist, okay, because I was a little white guy that was 5 feet tall, that weighed about 100 pounds, and I'm in with, you know, Mexicans and blacks and everything else, and we all got along because we were all on the same team. So anyway, so that was a blessing that God helped me weed out a lot of the racism that I had in my heart, because I never grew up around those kind of folks. So on May 5th, 1977, this cute girl invited me to go to church. And I'm going to tell you that my motives were terrible. I figured I'd go to church with her. She'd party with me later. That's not the way it happened. The preacher got up. I was sitting all the way in the back of the church. And, you know, I'm the little outlaw biker dude with an attitude. And this guy got up and he started preaching about how people are empty inside, how they try to fill up the emptiness with drugs, alcohol, sex, rock and roll, whatever. And this is kind of funny, but I wanted to slap that little Christian girl because I thought she told the pastor I was coming. And so I didn't do that, of course. I didn't slap anybody. I got slapped down by the Holy Spirit, because here this guy's up in the front. He's wearing polyester. He's got one of those preacher hairdos from the 70s. I didn't like him as soon as I saw him. And I have that attitude. And yet the Holy Spirit was able to cut right through all of that, right to the core of my heart, and show me that I needed what these people had. And so to make a long story short, they did an altar call. I went forward in front of, you know, a few hundred people, and accepted Christ, was baptized in water, and God changed my heart and changed my life. And when I came out of that place, I came out of that place like a 50,000-watt Jesus light bulb. And it was amazing, because God took away the desire for drugs and alcohol, took away all the things that I was all about. And one of the humorous parts of the story is that because I was a drug dealer, people were calling me at all hours of night. And so after I accepted Christ, people would call me up and go, "Hey, bro, you got anything?" I'd say, "Yeah, come on over." They'd come over, I'd start telling them about Jesus.
Yeah, I remember. I remember when I started doing that. I got a similar background, but, you know, when I was young, I wasn't the nicest person, you know, when right. it came to getting along. And I, too, was a biker, but There was only two of us. Well, we didn't ride with a bunch. We couldn't get along with a gang. But anyhow, so I know exactly what happened, because when I got saved, those same people that were afraid of me when I was unsaved were even more afraid of me when they saw me coming, because I was going to tell them about the Lord. They thought I had lost my mind, okay? But hang tight, because I want to pick it up right there. We'll be back. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this for just a minute here. Okay, what we're going to do is I've got to give the phone numbers out at 888-281-1110. I want to hear the rest of this story, because I got a feeling I know where it's going. It's a great testimony, folks, and this is really what it's all about, what Pastor Fred Z is going to tell you. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And so I'm going to go back now. The phones are ringing. We want to say, and let's just go right back to Pastor Fred Z, and let's pick it up for Bikers for Christ.
Amen, Pastor Ernie. Thank you. I accepted Christ. I had people calling me. I'm trying to share the gospel with people. They're avoiding me like the plague. And so I lost a lot of friends real quick. But God was doing some powerful things in my life. I ended up leading. The first person that I led to Christ was a guy that I used to slam dope with. And he saw the change in me, and he said, whatever happened to you, I need it. And whenever I'm sharing my testimony, and I share my testimony around the world, I tell people that quitting drugs was easy. I did it 1,000 times. Okay, because I'd quit, and I'd go back, and I'd quit, and I'd go back, and I'd quit, and I'd go back. So anyway, God brought that young lady into my life. I never saw that gal again after that night. She was gone, okay? And so God had me right where he wanted me. I had an old beat-up Ford van. I had my motorcycle. And I was going to this church, and at first they're telling me, you know what? You got to cut your hair. You got to wear polyester. You got to get rid of your motorcycle. You got to get rid of your electric guitar. All that stuff. I did all of that. Okay. And I was trying to fit into the Christian world, and it wasn't working out real well because I did all of those things. And yet every time I looked in the mirror, I go, who is that guy? You know, and God to me, I was going to Bible college, and I read 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. That says, man looks on the outward appearance. That's the way that he makes his judgment. But God looks at the heart. So I started challenging the pastors in this Bible college that I was going to. And they basically kicked me out of Bible college because they didn't like getting challenged by the Word of God. And so anyway, to make a long story short, I kept going to church. I took my van. I would get gospel tracts. Back in those days, they had the chick tracks, and they had all the different things that you could get to go tell people about Christ. I would go out with my van. A bunch of different men and women from the church saw that I was very evangelistic because I kept bringing van loads of kids to the church and street people. And so they said, what can we do to help you? And I said, why don't you make some sandwiches or something, or find some used clothes? And so I started a street ministry in Anchorage, Alaska, in the middle of the winter, and started going out and sharing the gospel. So anyway, fast forward to realizing that God didn't care what I looked like on the outside. I decided to grow my hair back. I got another motorcycle. I started riding my motorcycle and sharing the gospel with people. And fast forward to 1987, I was actually invited to go to a prison fellowship convention, and it was in the Anaheim Convention Center, and that's where I picked up that tag, Rebel with a Cause, because I went and I shared my testimony, and this guy, Jim Tucker, was in prison ministry, he invited me and my friends to ride our motorcycles into the Anaheim Convention Center. And so there was a crowd there. It was a big prison revival, you know, ministry thing. We rode our motorcycles in. They could hear the thunder coming through the corridors. We rode our motorcycles into the convention center, got off the bikes, and I ended up getting up and sharing my testimony. And they put it in the Full Gospel Businessmen's magazine, the Voice magazine. It went literally around the world. 2 million people read it. And so that was exciting. Then in 1990 is when God called me to start Bikers for Christ. And he gave me a vision for the patch. He gave me a vision for everything. We have a sword on the patch with the Bible behind the sword. It's got 777 on the patch, and it says Bikers for Christ. And I asked God, I said, God, there's some radical motorcycle clubs out there. So I'm going to need a radical patch. And he gave me the design. And since that time, it's absolutely amazing because we started out with a handful of guys in Northern California. Now we've got about 1,500 to 1,800 members. We're in all 50 states. We're in 24 countries. And now I minister to all the leaders of all the outlaw motorcycle clubs on the planet. And so I have a little church in Oceanside. It's called Rushing Wind Ministries. That's where Johnny and Heather go, by the way. And they are avid listeners of the Pastor Ernie Sanders show. And anyway, so, you know, I have a small church in Oceanside, but we have an international motorcycle ministry that God has given us favor with all the bike clubs. And so we share the gospel with the people, you know. There was a quote, some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bells. We want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And that's the motto that we took on for the motorcycle ministry of Bikers for Christ.
All right, hold it right there for a minute. I want to say thank you to Sheila in Texas, pledges 200. Bob in Lakewood pledges 50. Now listen to this, Wile E. Coyote, a coyote in Arkansas. And I got a feeling that this is the same guy that was formerly Bugs Bunny. Pledges 500. Jesse in Minnesota pledges 250, and Randy in Arkansas pledges 120. And so let me just say here, thank you. So now that brings us down. It brings us down to 4,000. We need 4,500. 4,500 tonight. Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. It would be good if we could do better than that because that's to make our goal for tonight, though. Oh, yeah, it would always be better already because we've got only... less than 3 hours for the entire week to raise enough money to stay on for the entire next month. And boy, we had to raise, our goal from the beginning was $80,000. We needed to raise $80,000. And so, all righty, let's get back. Let me just give you a couple things here. It's just like this. I pastor a small church in Newberry, Ohio, and yet we have a ministry that goes around the world. People listen to us all around the world on the internet. And so we're kind of the same there. And here, Pastor Fred Z, we have something coming up on Sunday, September 11th, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We're working together on this, aren't we?
Yes, we are, brother.
Why don't you tell the folks about it?
Yeah, we were talking about doing a day of prayer, a day of fasting, a day of pounding the throne for our nation and for the world. And we live in a very twisted place right now. This country was founded on godly principles. We have gone so far away from those godly principles that it's time for the church to stand up. And it's time for the church to quit being the sleeping giant. And we need to be going from the docile little kittens to the roaring lions. Amen? And I believe that we need to pound the throne of God, we need to repent of our sins, of course, as the Word of God tells us, if my people, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face, he will turn things around in our land. And so that's our prayer that we want. And, you know, it was so funny because Linda and I were talking, and she goes, yeah, we got to pick a date. And I go, how about September 11th? Hello?
Yeah.
Remember what happened back in 2001 when all those people decided to fall on their faces and cry out to God? And I said, we need to do that. That's what we need to do. And it was so amazing that it just clicked with Linda's spirit and with my spirit that that was the day. And so, you know, and, you know, something else happened on September 12th or 13th. I can't remember, but the great prophetess Oprah had a gathering in New York, and she invited priests, she invited pastors, she invited witch doctors, she invited imams. I mean, every single false religion on the planet was there. And they were crying out to all their gods. And it's really obvious that their gods were not listening. And, you know, the churches were full after September 11th. And then as life got back to normal again, people just went right back to their sin again.
Yeah, they did. So, you know, and if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's an amazing thing how that parallels with America today. You know, just absolutely amazing. But, you know, you were talking about the dust storm there when you, and by the way, on that day, I'll never forget because I happened to be watching the news that morning live, and the story was actually about a sinkhole in the street, and they were showing how this car had fallen into this big sinkhole, and in the background, you saw the World Trade Buildings. And I watched as that plane flew into it, and there was silence, and then all of a sudden, you know, they were talking about it. And so, but the big dust storm came not from New York when the buildings came down. It came from all across the country where people were pulling their Bibles off the shelves and dusting them off because they thought we were a war now. And, you know, it's like this.
That's cool.
Being, that's true. But did you ever notice something, too, like, as a pastor, and I know, Joe, you know this too, even your relatives, even your relatives, when there's a crisis in the family, you're the first one they call. You're the very first one they call. And then when the crisis is
good, they don't want to hear from you.
When the crisis is over with, they'll tell you, well, thanks. Thanks, brother, for being here when we needed you. But now that everything's okay, the crisis is over, you know, could you
right back? It's like, you know, the
it's what's like, could you take Jesus and go home until we need you again?
Right.
Yeah.
It's humorous in a way, but it's so human nature, you know, and the Bible talks about a dog going back to his vomit.
Absolutely. Okay. We're going to be listening to a clip here coming up, and I want you to listen close to it and then.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.